I'd like to ask you, if you will, tonight, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We began trying to study this morning about the least and the lost. I tried to mention that the Word of God speaks a lot about those that are the least and those that are lost. It speaks about those that are last. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. And I want us to pray that God will help us tonight to, again, have our hearts impressed on the importance of the fact that not only is Jesus Christ concerned about those that are the least and those that are the lost, but God's people, if they are following Christ, then they too will be very concerned about the least and the lost. All of you remember that in Matthew 25 that Jesus talks about. We'll read there, Matthew 25. I wasn't thinking. But in Matthew chapter 25, you'll notice verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Jesus here is talking about those that enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, "Blessed are those that keep the commandments of God. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This is beginning verse 34. Backing up to verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat." That's the reason that they entered into this kingdom, is because of what they had done. Their service to God. "For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So the way that we serve God, you know, God doesn't need any help, does he? There's nothing we can do to help God. Sometimes people talk about how they help God. We don't help God in any way. God could just take all those that were hungry and he could feed them. He could take care of all those that are sick and just speak the word and heal them. But God, in his wisdom and in his order and in his purpose, he has set it up that God's people are to be ministering unto those that are in need. And sometimes we minister unto some people that are in need, but we're not willing to minister to others. And so Jesus says to these on the right hand, he says, "You come, inherit the kingdom, for you did all of these things unto me." And they said, "Lord, when did we ever see you and do anything for you?" And his response was, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." I think that one of the greatest blessings we ever have in our lives is by serving God's people, and in the midst of serving God's people, to be consciously thinking, "Lord, I am thankful for the privilege to do this for one of your children. I'm glad to be able to kneel down here beside this bed in the nursing home. I'm glad to minister unto these people. I'm glad that I have the privilege to serve you by serving one of these dear children of God." And there are none of the children of God, there are none of them that are little or least in God's sight, though they are little in the sight of men. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren." That is, the world may call these people out here the least. They may say that they're of no value. They may say they're poor and they're nothing. They're of no value, but they're precious in the sight of the Lord. Did you know that there's not a single child of God that's more precious to God than another child of God? That's almost impossible for us to comprehend that God loves every one of His people, every single one of them. He loves them to the same degree. But we love in different degrees. We love in varying degrees. And so it is that we need to always pray that God will help us to be willing to serve the least. You know, Jesus makes this statement. He says that among those that were born of women, there hath not risen a greater than who? Among all those that were born of women, there hath not been risen a greater than who? Than John the Baptist. And then he says, but whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Now that's a marvelous statement when you talk about those that are least, and you talk about how great John the Baptist was, and yet Jesus says, the least one in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. So God's children are precious. They are important to God, and every one of God's people should be important to us. I want you to notice in, well, we won't turn to all of these scriptures, but you'll remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that the Word of God condemns the brothers in Christ for going to law, going to court, and suing one another. You remember that passage of Scripture? And do you remember the solution that God gave there? He said, if there's ever a conflict that can't be straightened out, instead of going to court, He says, you take those that are least esteemed in the church, and you let them listen to the matter, and let them be the judge. Do you see that the Word of God there is saying that those that might be the least esteemed in the church, they might have more wisdom than anyone else in the church. Sometimes those that are the wisest and the most precious and the dearest saints of God, sometimes we don't recognize how important they are. But they're important. They're very important. And we need to pray that God will help us to see how valuable the people are that the world might think is the least, and that we might even sometimes look at them as being the least, and yet in the sight of God they're very important. The Apostle Paul said that he was the least of the apostles, of all the apostles. And listen, brethren, I believe the Apostle Paul really felt that way when he says, I am the least of the apostles. In fact, he goes further in Ephesians and says, I'm the least of all the saints of God. He knew that he was a sinner redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe, brethren, that when we begin to see how little we really are, then we will begin to esteem others that are least in the eyes of men. Go with me to Luke chapter 15. I want us to think now for a few minutes about not just the least, but I want us to look at those that are lost. Those that are lost. I just touched on this for a moment this morning, but those that are lost in the Word of God, that's not talking about people that are lost and dying and going to hell. The Word of God, when it talks about people that are lost, is talking about children of God that are lost. Do you know the difference in being dead and being lost? That's the difference in those that are dead in trespasses and sins. Those that are not redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, they're not sick and they're not lost. They're dead in trespasses and sins. Those that are lost are children of God that are alive, but they're on the wrong path. They're not going in the right direction. They're not in fellowship with God. They're not in fellowship with the house of God and with the people of God. They're lost. They're wandering to and fro. And they're called here in Luke. In Luke chapter 15, he uses three different illustrations in this one chapter to teach us and instruct us about how important every lost child of God is. Now, the Pharisees, listen carefully before I get into this. This is actually the first verse. Back up and look at Luke 15, verse 1. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, what were these publicans and sinners doing? Were they coming to Jesus, or was Jesus out there chasing them down? Which one? They came to Him, yes. Now, you remember that Jesus says, No man cometh to the Father but by me, and no man is ever coming to me except the Father draw him. We understand all of that. But listen, brethren, there are some people that are drawn and led by the Spirit of God, but they don't follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. But now these are people that were publicans and sinners. Now, my question to you is, what did the religious world in this day and time, how did they feel toward these publicans and sinners that are going to Jesus? What was their estimation? How valuable would the religious world have said these publicans and sinners are? They were the least. They were of no value. They were nothing but dogs. They were wretched sinners. And yet these publicans and sinners, they were coming to Jesus. You see that? I want you to, it's important that you remember that they came to Jesus. And then the Scripture says, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Why were they so mad? Why were they disgruntled? Why were they condemning Jesus? Because Jesus was willing to sit down with the what? He was willing to sit down with the least. And were these least also, what's the second word we're looking at? They were also lost. Were they dying and going to hell? No, they weren't dying and going to hell. But listen, brethren, they would experience a lot of hell on this earth had they not come to Jesus. Coming to Jesus saves God's people from being lost. It saves them from a lot of hell while they live here on this earth and blesses them to have some heaven while they live here on this earth. So these publicans and sinners, the least of people in the estimation of the religious world, they came to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes, they were furious that Jesus would sit down with sinners. Did you know that if you're going to ever go after the same people that Jesus did, if you're going to have fellowship with the least, did you know there are going to be people that are going to tell you you have lost your mind and you're not going about building up the church the way God would have you to build up the church. Let me tell you something, brethren. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, the end thereof are the ways of death. And I can come up with all kinds of schemes and gimmicks and devices to fill up this building with people. I can, and you can come up with ways that we know will appeal to the flesh and appeal to men. And if we ever do that, we've brought the world into the church and Christ will exit. We will not feel the presence of the Spirit of God if we ever do anything to appeal to the natural man. I remember when I first started in the ministry and I've always had a burden for elderly people. And I remember that after I'd been in Columbus about a year and we began to go around and pick up people and bring them to the from the nursing home to church, I remember getting on the elevator one day and this man told me, he was an older preacher of another persuasion. He said, Brother Mullis, he said, I want you to know that you're not going about building the church in the right way. I said, well, what do I need to do? He said, you're going around and picking up the old people, and he said, they don't have any money, and they don't have anything to benefit the church. They're dying out. You've got to build up the church with young people. You need to totally change your approach and go after the young people. And if you go after the young people, they're the church of tomorrow, and they'll bring their parents, and that's the way to build the church up. Let me tell you something, brethren. Those old people, if you neglect them, you've neglected some of the most wonderful, precious saints of God that are on the face of the earth. It's wrong to neglect the elderly and it's wrong to neglect the children. We should not neglect any of them. The least of them are important to God. That's least as far as any way you want to consider. And right now, we're talking about least as far as spiritual. Are there some least spiritual people around? Are there some people around that you don't see hardly any spiritual life at all? It looks like they're almost dead. But you better not give up on them. You better work with them. Listen now to Luke 15, verse 3. The Pharisees and the scribes are murmuring against Jesus because he's sitting down with the least. You follow that? Now verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them? Are there people that can be lost to the church? What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, did not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? Is it important? Does he give an illustration here to teach the importance of a shepherd going after any lost sheep? Does it matter that you've got still got 99? You go after that one that's lost because the least is precious. He's lost and he's still considered the least, but he's still important to Jesus Christ. Verse 5, he says, and when he hath found it, when he finds that lost sheep, he layeth upon his shoulders rejoicing, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. He found what? He found his what? Sheep. What does a sheep represent typically in the Word of God? It usually represents a child of God. I found my sheep. What's the lesson that Jesus is teaching us? He says it doesn't matter if you still have 100, if you've lost even one sheep, you're accountable for that one sheep. Every sheep that God sends to this church, every one of them, we're accountable to what happened to those sheep. Every one of them. Sometimes we have to exclude someone from the church. But let me tell you something, brethren. If anybody's ever excluded from this church and they began to go astray and you never tried to labor with them, you're going to have to give account to God for your failure to labor with that sheep that went astray. They may perish out there in the wilderness, but if they perish and you didn't do anything, their blood is on your head. Is one out of 100 important to God? And I want you to notice verse 7. Jesus said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one, what? Sinner. One sinner that repenteth. It's important that we realize that one sinner repenting is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. There's joy in heaven and there ought to be joy on earth. And there will be joy in the true church of Jesus Christ over every sinner that repents. So you have 100 sheep and one was lost. That lost sheep was found and there was great rejoicing over that one sheep that was found. Then you have a woman that had 10 coins and she lost one of those coins. She had 10 coins. She still had 9. Did she just continue on her merry way with her 9 coins? Or did she stop everything and sweep and garnish the house and look diligently for that one coin that was lost? And when she found it, she likewise rejoiced over finding that one coin. It doesn't matter if it's one sheep in 100 or if it's one coin in 10. The lesson that Jesus is teaching us here is that every child of God is important. And there is no such thing as a least child of God in the sight of God. Every child of God is precious to God. It took the blood of Jesus Christ for every one of His people to be saved. And they're precious because, not because they're good, they're precious because God chose them, God set His love upon them, and God redeemed them by His precious blood. He bought them. He bought them with the blood of His dear Son. They're precious in His sight. And if they're not precious to us, we're in bad trouble. The least should be very important to us. The lost least should be very important to us. After He gives the first two parables of the 100 sheep, and one was lost, and then He gives 10 coins and one was lost, then He says a certain man had 2 sons. What happened to one of those sons? One of those sons went out and wasted his father's goods in riotous living. What was he? Was he dead or was he lost? Well, there's a sense in which he was both. I failed to mention that. Because when you come down and you find the son coming home, I want you to notice what the father said in verse 24. The father said, this my son was dead and is alive again. Now what did he mean, dead? How was he using had the son physically died and then brought back to life? Absolutely not. What was he dead to? What does the word dead mean? The word dead means separated from. What was the son dead to as long as he was out there living and right as living? He was dead to fellowship of the Father. He was dead to the blessings of the Father's house. And any child of God, listen, a child of God may continue to come into the house of God, but a child of God, it doesn't matter if they're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, a child of God can be out there wasting their Father's goods in riotous living, and they will be dead to the joys of the church and the kingdom and the fellowship of God. And so it is, this son was dead to the joys of his father's house and the fellowship of his father, but then he came back home, didn't he? He came back home. Watch the other brother now. What's the other brother going to do? Oh, he was happy to see his brother come home, wasn't he? That brother that had gone out and had finally come back home, how did that older brother respond? He was jealous. He was angry. He was angry at his father. He was angry at his brother. And he missed the joy that was going on in the rejoicing over that son coming home. The father had said, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. Let's drink, eat, drink, and be merry. Let's rejoice. Because this my son that was dead is alive again. He was, what's the second expression after it says he was dead? He was what? He was lost. But now he's what? He's found. Was that father happy that that son was found? Was he rejoicing that his son had come home? The brother didn't rejoice. And did you know that sometimes children of God, when they see another child of God repent and come to the Lord in fellowship with God, sometimes children of God don't rejoice because they despise the, which one, L-E-A-S-T or the L-O-S-T? Which one do they despise? Both, that's right. They despise the least and they despise the lost. They don't want anything to do with the lost or the least. And so they just despise them. And there's no joy in their heart when the lost come home. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10 just a moment. I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 10 that when Jesus sent out His apostles, I want you to notice who Jesus sent His apostles to. He sent those men out to preach. Now those were dedicated, committed men of God. The 12 apostles were chosen by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent out those apostles. In Matthew chapter 10, the Word of God in the first four verses tells you the names of those 12 apostles. And then in verses 5, 6, and 7, the Word of God tells us what Jesus told these men to do and what they were not to do. Matthew chapter 10, listen to verses beginning in verse 5. Matthew 10, verse 5, these 12, that's the 12 apostles, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Listen, brethren, did Jesus have a purpose? Did He send them where they were supposed to go? Was there a place they were not to go? Sometimes we want to just go wherever we want to go. I've heard preachers sometimes say, I've sat down with preachers, I've talked with preachers that said, you know, this church has called me, but they're not going to give me enough money, and I'm not going there unless they can give me X amount of money, unless they can, and they just enumerate all the things that church has to do in order for them to go there. That's a hireling. That's a hireling. That's not a man called of God. If it's a man called of God, he is bad sick to be dealing like that with a church. Jesus told His apostles where to go. And I believe with all of my heart, God still calls men and He tells them where to go and He tells them where not to go. And He said, now you go not. He says, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But listen carefully to what He said in verse 6. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 6. He said, but go rather to the what? What are the next two words there? The lost sheep. Were they sent out to sheep? What kind of sheep were they sent out to? They were sent out to lost sheep. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let me ask you this question, brethren. Are we concerned about the lost? do we realize that most of God's children today are lost? That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Now, don't leave this. We're going to come right back here. But in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said that there's a broad way. And who goes in that broad way? Many there be that go in thereat. There's a straight and a narrow way, and few there be that find it. And what do sometimes those that are walking the straight and narrow way, what is their attitude sometimes towards those that are in the broad way? What is their attitude sometimes? What do you think? Oh, that's the least out there. Oh, they're not like I am. Super Bowl Sunday, and I came to church. No sinners out there watching the ball game. Well, you watch yourself in the morning, see if you're as good as you think you are. In fact, while you were thinking about those bad sinners out there, you need to look at yourself right then. Because as soon as you started that self-righteous attitude about those sinners that are out there, you just got out of the straight and narrow way. As soon as you started condemning and laughing at those that were walking the broad way, as soon as you stopped loving them and caring about them, you were out of the straight and narrow way right then. Oh, brethren, we need to realize the least are important to God, and they must be important to us. And the lost are important to God. Jesus sent His apostles and said, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Do you believe that there are many children of God in Waycross, Georgia, that are lost tonight? Do you believe there are many? I'm not asking about people that we need to get out there and save them from eternal hell to eternal heaven. Jesus has taken care of that. You know how many people I've ever saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven? Thank you, Sister Lindsay. She went zero. That's exactly right. Not a one. Not a one. But let me also say in the same breath, if I haven't been trying to save, and if I haven't been saving people, God's children, from a hell on earth to the heaven on earth, if I haven't been trying to save, to seek and to save that was lost, if I haven't been seeking them and working with them and laboring them and trying to save that was lost, I'm going to spend time in hell for that. And you know what I'm talking about. You can't ignore the lost and the least without suffering greatly for it. Go with me in closing. Back up in your Bible. Well, I wanted to finish Matthew chapter 10. He told them, don't go to the Gentiles. And he said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what were they to talk to them about? Were they to talk to them about election and predestination and talk to them about some great deep doctrine that they probably didn't know anything about? That's what I did early in my ministry. That's what I did before I was called to preach, was I spent a lot of time out there trying to teach everybody about election and predestination and salvation by grace, and try to show them that they were wrong, and I would take the terms they used, and I would say, that's not a scriptural term, and I just condemn them and laugh at them. And you know how many I converted doing all of that? Zero. Didn't convert a single one. You know why? Because they were the least in my sight. And I thought more highly of myself than I ought to think. And I forgot that the only reason I knew anything, any truth, was because God had revealed it to me. And I forgot that is not the first thing you talk to people about. That's not what Jesus sent out His apostles to do. That's not what Jesus went out doing. What did Jesus go out doing? What did He do? He went out and helped people, didn't He? Did He go out and feed people? Did He go out and help people? Did He find thousands that were hungry and feed them? They were, by the way, was He chasing them down, or what were they doing? They were following Him, and He ministered to them. Let me tell you something. Brother Steve, how long have you been in Waycross?
About 3.5 months.
Okay. When did I start working with you?
About a month ago, right?
Yeah, I chased you down, didn't I? What happened? Called looking for help. Now all of us, listen brethren, all of us need to understand there's a ditch on each side of what I'm trying to preach to you tonight. But as God's dear children are out there and they need help, There are some of God's children that don't know where to turn to. And they need to know they can turn to you. They need to know that you care about them. And if you do everything you can for them, they're going to know they can come to you. But there's also a limit to what you can do to help God's people. And that's a heartbreaking time when you have to say, I'm sorry, I can't do anything else to help you. Someone came to me after church this morning and said, what do you think about me going to see a particular individual? And I said, well, I'm through with that individual. I have tried. And I said, about 2 years ago, I told that person that because of his rebellion against God and his ungodly living, I said, God's judgments are going to come in your life. You have hardened your heart. You have refused to do what you know is right. And I told him, I said, this is the last time I'm coming and talking to you about your ungodly living. Did everybody understand? Now, that was after probably 10 years of labor. You know, that was after warning and seeing a little life and seeing a little fire and fanning the fire and working and trying to get it going and working and laboring. But there comes a time that it's too late. There comes a time that you have to wash your hands and say, I've done all I can do. Only God will give you the wisdom to know when that is. What did these 12 apostles go and talk to everybody about? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you know the message I have for every one of God's people? Everybody that I talk to, I talk to them, I say, listen, God has some heaven on earth for His obedient children. If you will serve God, listen carefully, if you'll serve God in righteousness and peace and joy, you get this? If you serve God in righteousness and peace and joy, you will also experience and feel righteousness, peace, and joy. Go with me in closing to Ezekiel chapter 34. And I'll close with just one verse of Scripture here in Ezekiel chapter 34. Look, please, at verse 6. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 6. Very important question or statement is going to be stated here. And I pray that God will help you to turn here and look at this one verse of Scripture in closing. In Ezekiel chapter 34, listen, please, to verse 6. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 6. The Word of God says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains. You remember the song that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Have you ever felt like you were prone to wander? Well, now, what can you do to keep from wandering? Brother John, tell me something you can do to keep from wandering away. What can you do to keep from becoming a lost sheep? Okay? Meditate on the Word of God. What else can you do? Anybody? Name some things that you can do to keep from wandering so that you don't perish. Brother Rich, name something you can do. Serve God's people. Serve God's people. There are a lot of different things that you can do to keep from wandering. God says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered. My flock, do you see they're God's flock, they're His people. My flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. They were wandering all around, and none, not didn't say only a few people sought and searched after them. None, there was not a single person that was out there searching and seeking for those lost sheep. I pray that as we leave here tonight, that we'll know and understand we'd better be out there seeking those lost sheep. And here's what will happen, by the way. When you're out there seeking the lost sheep, there will be other sheep, listen carefully, there will be other sheep that you weren't even looking for, but they will recognize this person is from the shepherd. And they'll be brought to you, and they'll be brought to you, and they'll be brought to you. And you'll find a lot of sheep. All you've got to do is get out there and start searching and seeking, and you'll find a lot of lost sheep. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.